I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Hopefully, I'm going to tell you some things that you didn't already know, but if you did, I might even be able to add to it. This is an interesting little piece that Jim read because the church fathers weren't happy with this. And I will explain that later, but they were not happy with the way Mark ended his gospel. And that's kind of crazy. I mean, think about it. When the women went to the tomb, they clearly expected to see the body of Jesus lying there. Why else bring the oil and all the herbs and everything else they weren't expecting that? But they were. They had hoped to come in there and prepare his body, which was a Jewish custom. But he wasn't there. And they were befuddled, to say the least. So let's think about this. You know, the women, and I want to point this out because I think it's important. If you read the Gospels, all four of them, you're going to see that the women are the ones who had the deepest faith, that it's the women who always believed. Okay? And these women, they believed. Even when the disciples doubted, the women believed. But then they come into this tomb and they say, "Oh my gosh, somebody has stolen his body." They don't know. But then, when we go back, let's go back a little bit further. When Lazarus died, it was the women, Lazarus' sisters, who sent for Jesus. And they said, "If Jesus comes, our brother won't die." Well, by the time Jesus got there, he was dead. Now, again, the women believed. They believed that Jesus could have kept him from dying. What they didn't know is that he could be brought back to life. They understood the prevention part. They didn't understand the resurrection part. So Jesus shows up, and Martha says, "Oh my gosh, he's already dead, Lord. If you had been here, it wouldn't have happened." He said, "He will rise." So Martha, in her understanding, said, "Well, yeah, I mean, I realize he's going to rise again on the resurrection day, on the last day, but he's already dead. We're just going to have to wait for the resurrection." And Jesus says, "No, you won't." Well, you know what happens next. Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus walked out. Not only were the sisters amazed, but everybody else who watched. And they had fear. We want to be sure we say that. They had fear. Here's the way the text read. When Martha heard Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But even now I know God will give you whatever you ask of him. Did you hear that? God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And she did not understand that to mean right now. But the women had great faith. The women's faith in Jesus went way beyond anything the disciples had. In fact, the women's faith in Jesus took faith to a whole new level. Well, oftentimes we must wrestle with what we really believe. For example, way back in the old days, none of you would remember that, there was a guy named Pierre in Paris who did a tightrope act. And he would do tightrope acts all over Europe from the highest of the highest heights they had. And he would go across that tightrope and amaze people. But then he added to it and he blindfolded himself and he went across. But then he added one more thing. He blindfolded himself and he pushed a wheelbarrow across the tightrope. We've seen stuff like that in modern days, right? It happens. Well, this guy's doing it, and there's this promoter in New York that hears about it. He doesn't believe it, so he sends a letter. And in his letter, he says, sir, I do not believe you can do it, but I'm willing to make you an offer for a very substantial sum of money. Besides all of your transportation fees, I would like to challenge you to do your act over Niagara Falls. Now, I don't know how many of you have been to Niagara Falls. I've been there, and that's a scary place. But Pierre wrote back, sir, although I've never been to America and seen the falls, I'd love to come. Well, after a lot of promotion and setting the whole thing up, many people came to see the event. Pierre was to start on the Canadian side and go across to the American side. And the rope was stretched over the most treacherous part of the falls. As I said, I've been there. I'm not sure what is the most treacherous. It all looked pretty treacherous to me. But they put it over the most treacherous part of the falls. Well, the drums rolled, and Pierre came across the rope, which was suspended, of course, and then he blindfolded himself halfway across and finished the walk. Well, he actually made it look easy. The crowds went wild, and he went to the promoter, and he said, Mr. Promoter, now do you believe I can do it? Well, of course I do. I mean, I just saw you do it. No, Pierre said, do you really believe I can do it? Well, of course. You just did. No, 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 Pierre said. Do you really believe that I can do it? And the promoter said, yes, Pierre, I believe you can do it. Good, said Pierre, then you get in the wheelbarrow. Here's the thing, folks. The word believe in Greek means to live by. If you believe it, you live by it. That's what it means in the Greek. Even after raising Lazarus, did the crowd believe, really believe, that Jesus could do that? I think we saw on Palm Sunday, you know, everybody's, oh boy, it's the guy who raised Lazarus, how wonderful. And then they abandon him. Did they really believe? How often do we say we believe, that we have faith in Christ, but refuse to get in the wheelbarrow? Does our fear prevent us from getting in the wheelbarrow and trusting the Lord? Fear is a natural part of life. I mean, from childhood to adulthood, we all have fears. At one point or another, I feel certain there is not a person in this sanctuary that hadn't felt fear at least once, if not many times in their lives. I can tell you when I went to boot camp, I was scared. I had no idea what to expect. I can also tell you when I played ice hockey, the thought of a puck going at 150 miles an hour at my face sent fear through me. And then after it hit, I got over my fear. But we all have fears. Fear, that's just part of it. Kids have a fear of taking a test, taking a quiz. What if I fail? What if I don't make it? Fear is just such a natural part of life. And oftentimes, we kind of write it off and we think, well, yeah, it's okay to be scared. But I'm going to tell you something, and it's something that where we really need to learn to control our fear and in some cases get over our fear. There's a fable in India that tells the story of a mouse who is constantly in distress. Fears everything, fears the cat. A magician comes along, and the magician looks at the mouse. The mouse tells him how he's scared of a cat, so he turns the mouse into a cat. But then he fears the dog. So the magician turns him into a dog. Well, remember, this is India. So as a dog, he fears the tiger. Finally, the magician, after making him a tiger, says, you know what? You have the heart of a mouse. So be a mouse, and put him back to being a mouse. In our faith in Jesus Christ, sometimes we say, but Lord, you know, if this would happen, I would believe, and then if I could get through this, but we're really right back here. Our faith goes back, and we fail to continue living in faith. When the women found the tomb empty, fear was a natural reaction. Who here would not walk in to an empty tomb where you expected to find a dead body and it's gone? Add to that, you now have this young man sitting there who couldn't have possibly gotten in there with the big stone rolled in front of the entry, but he is. That was just natural. But after their fear passed, the writer of the Gospel of Mark understood fear, so he wrote this. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He's not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. Any normal human being would be scared. And that angel could look at those ladies all day and say, don't be alarmed, and they're going to be alarmed. How many of us have experienced a resurrection? How many of us have gone to see someone who has died and they're up and walking around? It's just normal. It's not that they had the heart of a mouse. He adds into this that they had total amazement. Amazement. He should have been in the tomb, but he wasn't. They were alarmed and they were amazed. Again, the gospel writer had the insight to understand human emotions. So he ended his gospel like this. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as I told you. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And the church fathers said, no. That's not happening. We are not going to allow a gospel to end with people being in fear. The gospel's good news. So they added two endings, one short, one long. And it's clear that they did it. They added it. In fact, two of the church fathers actually wrote in their journals, we changed the ending. Here's one of the endings. Now, after he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him, while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them, as they were walking in the country, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Later, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were sitting at the table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and stubbornness, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes in their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it. That's their addition, because they didn't feel Mark's ending was sufficient. It didn't go with what they believed. Our church fathers, Eusebius and Jerome, testified to that fact, that they found the ending unsatisfactory. So they offered the two different endings, the short and the long. I'm asking you, if you read this gospel just the way Jim read it, would you think that the ending was inappropriate or very human? And that's what I do. I would have run from there with fear and amazement. Mark knew what he was doing. He knew exactly how to write his gospel, and yet some people just weren't satisfied. And here we are on Easter Sunday celebrating that same resurrection, which many of us still stay in a state of amazement. Most manuscripts have this longer ending, and I can tell you that I'm one that right where Jim ended, that's where that gospel ends for me. And here's the thing. I don't believe a new ending of any kind was needed. What is wrong with fleeing from the tomb? What is wrong with that? Frankly, I think most of us here would have done the same thing. Fear of the unknown. After all, nothing like that had ever happened before. And amazement that it did happen seems normal to me. How about you? If you were told someone whom you saw die was going to meet you somewhere else, would you say, "Sure, no worries"? This is Easter Sunday. This is a day to celebrate the resurrection. This is a day to say, "I am in awe of Jesus Christ and what he did." And yes, there might be that little bit of fear. Wow, how did that happen? It is not unusual for the fear factor to enter our physical lives as well as our spiritual lives. Jesus did so many things that awed and sent fear into the hearts of those around him because he was able to do things they had never seen before. Mark is telling us fear is normal, and it is. Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Send a chill up my spine. What does it do for you? Honestly, there is no way that those women and men would not be alarmed. In fact, shocked. Shocked. This Sunday, this Easter Sunday, the day we celebrate the risen Lord, we put flowers on a cross, we bring in Easter lilies, when we celebrate, this Sunday is a Sunday of amazement. And if we're not amazed, what in the world is going on in our spiritual lives? And a healthy amount of fear never hurt. Every day, the Lord walks with us. And you've heard it said in the poem Footprints, those days when we only see one set of footprints, that's when we're being carried. And most of us here have experienced that. And if that doesn't amaze you, I don't know what will. This is Easter Sunday. I pray that each and every one of you are happy and thrilled to know that your Lord has risen and walks with you every day. Every day. You don't have to walk a tightrope. He's already done it for you. He even put you in the wheelbarrow and took you across. What a great day for all of us. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we know today is a wonderful day, the greatest of all days, the day in which your Son arose, the day in which you blessed us with his life, his love, and his giving. Lord, we thank you for forgiveness, we thank you for love, and we thank you that your Son is with us today and always. Be with us and guide us, for we ask this in his name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's word is brought to you.